Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, January 19th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Two Zimbabwean political activists face charges of allegedly insulting President Mugabe.
This is just a continued clampdown on violence in Zimbabwe. We have noted the rising cases of people being arrested, charged and prosecuted for undermining the authority or insulting the president.
An analysis of the performance of the South African rand in Zimbabwe.
Opposition party activists Nyson Mudzuri and a polite Zambezian employee of the state-run Zimbabwe National Railways are facing renewed charges of allegedly insulting President Robert Mugabe a couple of years after the offences were committed. Mudzuri appeared in court today facing charges of undermining the authority or insulting President Robert Mugabe in 2013. He allegedly contravened some sections of the Criminal Law Codification and Reform Act. According to the state prosecutors, Mudzuri, who was first arrested and charged on September 9, 2013, before he was removed from remand and only to be summoned to stand trial currently, allegedly passed some unpalatable statements against the ZANU-PF leader.
Zambezi was first arrested more than 3 years ago while aboard a commuter omnibus after he allegedly composed and chanted a song with the lyrics, "Mugabe will be hanged like Saddam." Reporter Jonga Kandemiri speaks with Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights spokesman Kumbirai Mafunda about these two cases.
We have noted that in Masungo, a trial was supposed to commence today over the case involving Mr. Nyson Mudzuri, who was arrested and charged in 2013. And we also are aware that tomorrow in Menezi, there's going to be a case which has been revived there. The case involved Mr. Zambezi, who has been summoned to stand trial for allegedly insulting President Mugabe. So today in court, our lawyers, Blessing and Arupa, actually petitioned the court and protested against the way the state was being conducted its business in court, that they didn't have the authority to prosecute from, which is normally issued by Attorney General Johannes Thoman, according to Section 34 of the Criminal Law Codification Reform Act, the one that they had was apparently signed by Chief Law Officer from Masungo.
Looking at these two cases, what does this show with regards to human rights and freedom of speech?
Yeah, without getting into the merits of the case, but just a quick comment on what you have asked, what does it show? We view this is just a continued clampdown on violence in Zimbabwe. We have noted the rising cases of people being arrested, charged, and prosecuted for undermining the authority or insulting the president. Since 2010, as Babu Lawyers for Human Rights, these are some of our statistics that we have. We view this as a clampdown on violence and that indication of continuation of harassment and troubling the citizens of Zimbabwe.
And that was Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights spokesman Kumbirai Mafunda in Harare with reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
Meanwhile, the trial of Harare-based journalists and two human rights activists accused of illegally taking pictures of a protected area in Zimbabwe opened in the capital today, with the accused denying the charges leveled against them. Our reporter Thomas Chiripas has more details from Harare.
The trial of freelance journalist Edgar Gweshe and two human rights activists Donald Makubaza and Charles Chidakwa, accused of illegally taking pictures at the Harare Remand Prison sometime last year, opened at the Harare Magistrates Court today, with the defense team calling Gweshe to the witness stand. Gweshe told the court that he was outside the 100-meter radius prohibited by the law for anyone to take pictures of a protected area. The accused's lawyer, Tondere Batasara of the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights, told Studio 7 that Gweshe and the two activists are denying the charges leveled against them.
Mr. Gweshe and others are facing the charge of contravening Section 5.5 two of the Protected Places and Areas Act, in that they are said to have failed to comply with a lawful order to desist from taking pictures outside the remand prison. Today, Mr. Gweshe, who is the first accused person, testified in court, insisting on what he has already said in his defense outline, that he never received any instruction not to take pictures. And he proceeded to take pictures because that on its own is not an offense. He was arrested by a plainclothes prison officer who never warned him that he should stop. And then he was cross-examined by the prosecutor, and will proceed tomorrow with the other two accused persons.
During cross-examination by prosecutor Francisca Mkumbiri, Gweshe told the court that there was no way that pictures of the Harare remand prison allegedly found in his flash disk could have been taken by him because he had no computer during the time of his arrest to enable him to transfer the pictures that he took from his camera to the memory stick. The trial continues tomorrow with Makubaza and Chidakwa expected to take to the witness stand. Harare-based freelance journalist Watmo Makokova says media freedom is now under siege in Zimbabwe.
Yeah, clearly journalism is under attack, especially from this political front. And if you look at it, it shows that there are hidden agendas that are rather political, which are pushing hidden agendas, maybe they're trying to deter journalists from practicing their duty freely. So journalism in Zimbabwe is under attack, and I think a lot needs to be done to solve this.
Charges against Gweshe and his co-accused arose after they allegedly took pictures of civil society activists who had visited the leaders of the National Vendors Union of Zimbabwe in prison following a blitz on street traders. Despite the crackdown on vendors, the roadside traders are still playing a cat-and-mouse game with authorities in the Central Business District, as the vendors say trading is their only source of livelihood, given the country's underperforming economy. Authorities say the prison where Gweshe and his co-accused took pictures of the civic leaders falls under protected areas. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
The further weakening of the South African rand has almost rendered it useless in Zimbabwe, where it is part of a multiple currency that was adopted to stem the historic plunge of the Zimbabwe dollar in 2009. The rand has become volatile and has been easily subjected to external pressures like export commodities and US interest rate hikes, depreciating on a free fall almost daily. Although on the official market the rand trades 16.7 against the US dollar, on Zimbabwe streets the currency is being exchanged 20 to 1 US dollar. Independent economist Rejoice Ngwenya tells Studio 7 the fall of the rand has resulted in the frequent use of the bond coin, a currency only recognized in Zimbabwe.
Not a new thing really, because by October, November last year, as soon as the rand started plunging, most retailers in this country were refusing to accept the rand because they know that if they accept the rand, they will lose out when they are converting it into a US dollar to go in and buy elsewhere other than South Africa. So it is understandable why they have lost confidence in the rand, because it gets to be eroded when it is being converted for import purposes.
And Mr. Ngwenya, what is the situation regarding the bond coins? Because we understand they have taken over from the rand.
Well, I'm not too sure whether it is correct to say they've taken over, because I do not think that if I had $1 million worth of bond coins, I would be able to get an equivalent in US dollars. What they have only solved is the crisis of change that we already had. That was difficult to get changed in the rand currency. But it is just a result of the lack of confidence that the rand, the Zimbabwean in the rand. I don't foresee a situation where the bond coin will suddenly transform itself into a bond note, and then we eventually use it in substituting for the US currency. Because there is no sign that the bond coin can be converted into US currency that can be used to import, say, capital goods.
But in terms of change, are these not being used widely more than the rand?
Absolutely. You know, in terms of change, they are being used. You know, that's what I'm saying, that you know, they are only answering the issue of change, which takes people from point A to point B in transport or from point A to point B in transaction. But whether or not a cumulative amount of bond coins can give you sufficient currency to convert into US dollars, this is what I keep on saying, it's unlikely to happen. So the bond coin has just become a currency of convenience for change purposes. But I don't think that it has assumed enough integrity and authority to be used to convert into a currency that one can use to import capital goods.
In other words, are we just playing around with the name? Because if we were to call the bond coin the Zimbabwe dollar, would that still work the same way that it's doing right now?
Absolutely, you're right. I think there's just a very, you know, intelligent way that the Reserve Bank has been using the word bond coin. Because by any other name, if you put the dollar sign, you already have the same dollar as a coin. But that, in terms of the psychology of the people that that are associated with depreciating the same dollar, that is a terrible mistake because of the historical conversation. Because remember that the use of currency has to do with confidence as well. So once you call it the same dollar, it might slide back into the inflationary, hyperinflationary, you know, mode that it assumed, that assumed notoriety, you know, in 2005, 2009.
Do you see the South African rand getting its strength that it had when we started off last year?
You know, the issue of whether South African rand can be strong or not is not a Zimbabwean issue. It's a South African issue. That will have to lead that South African. But I have got my doubts that it can recover from a position of probably 1-16 or 1-18, back to about 1-11. It will demand a lot of financial and monetary transformation of Africa. But for us, it has got long-term negative effects because our trade deficit will keep on widening because Zimbabweans will literally stop buying goods from Zimbabwe, and then it will totally destroy an industry that is already suffering under 30% productive capacity.
That was independent economist Rejoice Ngwenya. He spoke to Studio 7 on the line from Harare.